We're continuing our study together this morning concerning the commandments of God that he has given to us and those great commands, and there are lesser commands. We've looked at the first two commandments that Jesus identified as the great ones upon which all the other commandments hang, and that is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another as ourselves. And then we've been studying about weightier matters in God's Word that he teaches us about. And Jesus taught that there are certain matters that are of greater weight in Matthew 23:23 that we've read before as we've been studying through this part of this topic. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." And over the last couple of Sunday mornings, we've examined judgment, mercy, and faith as weightier matters of the law, and obviously we've not covered everything that's in God's Word on those great topics. We need to be studying that continually to learn more and to make sure that we're following that. But those are three of what Jesus identified as weightier matters of the law, and we saw how that was emphasized by God in his words he spoke in the Old Testament, and most especially in the New Testament in Christ. Well, this morning there's one more of those that we want to turn our attention to that's contained in the parallel passage to Matthew 23:23, and that is Luke 11:42, Luke 11:42, where he says, "But woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Now, one of the points that we've made along the way as we've been looking at these weightier matters of the law is that Christ doesn't say that we need to obey the weightier matters of the law and not be concerned with obeying those non-weightier matters of the law. In fact, he in some other places refers to the lesser or least commandments. But a commandment is a commandment, whether it's a great or least, is it not? And what does Jesus teach about all of God's commandments? They have to be obeyed. So we don't choose one or some to the exclusion of others. What was he pointing out with the Pharisees that their problem was? Well, they were obeying the commandment to tithe, and tithing would certainly rank among those lesser commandments, as he is teaching in this very context. But they were omitting the weightier matters of the law. And he didn't say you should have been doing these others instead of what you are doing. He said these ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. So they should have obeyed the commandment to tithe. That was a commandment God gave them. But they should have also been observing those weightier matters of the law. Well, the love of God is one of those. In fact, if we were to look concerning judgment, mercy, and faith, where does the love of God fit in with all of those? If we're going to look for a weightier matter of the law, is there one? Is there a matter of God's word that is more weighty than his love? And that would be no. I mean, we're looking at the weightiest of matters here. Now, one of the things we need to recognize is he's not speaking here about emotion. When we're reading about the love of God, this is not about having certain kinds of emotional feelings that we are supposed to have towards God or to even one another. Now, we do have commandments to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Are we going to feel certain things when we observe God's commandments and love each other as we should? Well, we will have joy, we will have sadness, we will have a weeping at times. But the love of God is not something that is an emotion. And so he's not teaching us to that one of the weightier matters is some kind of subjective feelings, as opposed to or separate in some way from his objective truth, what he teaches in his word. God's word is what teaches us how to love. So the love of God is based in keeping God's commandments. It's not in opposition to it. So we should not be choosing. There's no conflict between the commandments of God and love, and that we should be emphasizing more of love and not so much the commandments of God. And there are people that, a lot of people that will say that. Well, we don't need to be concerned about all these commandments that God gives. We just need to have more love. Well, with what God teaches, how can we have love without his commandments? Anybody that's, that puts love and God's commandments in some conflict with each other absolutely does not understand God's love. Well, we don't want to have that misunderstanding. Let's notice what John chapter 17, verse 26 says. John 17, 26. It says, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." So Jesus said, He's declared unto his disciples God's name. Well, when he's referring to his name, God's name, what does that mean? This is a reference to his authority. If we do something in the name of the Lord, we're doing it by his authority. So Jesus has declared his Father's authority to us, his disciples. So it's based in the authority that God has that we therefore can have his love in us. So does God's authority have anything to do with his love? Yes, and understanding his authority will, and submitting to it, will enable us to have his love in us. Well, how does that fit in with what Jesus said in John 14, verse 15? Do we love Jesus? And how many people say that they love Jesus? Well, there are a lot of people who say that. Some even have it on their hats or stickers on their cars and shirts and things. And well, that's one thing to declare that. What does it mean to love Jesus? What does he say in John 14, 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. So is loving Jesus then, is that teaching us to be full of emotions about him? That's not, people think that way. We even have some of our, I'm not going to call any out, you'll probably recognize some, but some of our hymns are most definitely written by some folks who kind of have that concept of love. And we have some hymns that picture loving Christ as basically holding hands with him and skipping through the flowers and having a big laugh. But that's not what loving Christ is about. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's not being full of emotion. It's learning his commandments. If we love Christ, then we're going to follow him. We're going to do what he says. And if we don't, then we don't love him. So if we claim to love him, but we won't do what he says, then do we love him? Those are just words. So we have to love him by obeying him. Well, that's how we show our love for the Lord. How do we show our love for one another? Well, in the chapter before this, in John 13, verses 34 and 35, we have the new commandment. Now, we remember Jesus said the second greatest commandment is love one another as thyself. Well, that was what he commanded in the Old Testament that is included in the New Testament. So we must do that. But Jesus took it even further here in John 13, 34, and 35 with what he refers to as the new commandment. And this is a higher standard of love that we're to have for each other. But again, let's notice what it is based in. John 13, 34, and 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Well, to love one another as Christ has loved us. Well, how do we know how Christ has loved us? Where do we find that? That's not an emotion. Do we know that in any other way other than by learning from God's word what he teaches us about Christ's love for us? And then we're and how he loved his disciples, how he loves us, how that is demonstrated. And then we are to love one another in that same way. That comes from learning his word and following it. So to love God and to love one another, it's based in God's word and keeping his commandments. His word teaches us how to love one another. And that's what we must follow. So again, according to what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, which is where we started this whole study at large about these commandments of God. Matthew 22, 36 to verse 40, just to revisit that. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All right, this, the question is, what is the great commandment in the law? And the answer with both of those commandments, what's the word that's common to both of them? Love God, love one another. The love of God, is that a weightier matter? I mean, that's central to what the two great commandments are. This is why we recognize this as the weightiest of matters. So this is central, the point of the first two commandments, loving God and loving one another. And notice again the connection between that and God's commandments. I mean, the very question was, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus doesn't answer, well, don't love one, just have love and don't be concerned about commandments. That is the commandment. And those are not just those two commandments, but he says, on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So all of God's commandments, at the root of it, are going to be concerning his love, that which we are to have towards God and then towards one another. So the relationship between the love of God and the commandments of God, those are inseparable. Romans chapter 13, we'll see a few other passages that teach exactly what Christ taught in those words that we just read in Matthew 22. This is the fulfillment of his law. It's what all the commandments are based in. So God's commandments and the love of God. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So how can we fulfill the law without love and vice versa? And then he goes further. For this, and here's some of the specific commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Is God's love opposed to his law and keeping his commandments? No, it is absolutely linked together. So we are to love one another. And as Jesus said, all the commandments hang on the commandment to love God and to love one another. And he shows how, actually, in this, where he is repeating many of the Ten Commandments. And shows this. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, what does he say there? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Is someone who commits adultery, are they working any ill to their neighbor? Well, yes. Being with another spouse. I mean, that is working ill certainly to the spouse of that one. And what about the rest of their family, their children, and all of that? I mean, people that get caught up in committing adultery, I mean, how many people do they hurt and damage by committing that sin? It causes much damage to many. It works ill to a lot. And therefore, one is not loving somebody to do that. So the commandment not to commit adultery, it hangs on the commandment to love your neighbor. Thou shalt not kill. I mean, that if there's one that's going to be obvious, I mean, Can you work more ill towards somebody than killing them? Thou shalt not steal. Well, obviously, if you're stealing, taking something from somebody that is theirs and not yours, I mean, are you doing them harm? I mean, that's all those commandments are based on that, hang upon that commandment to love one another, not to covet. And he says, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's exactly what Jesus said, and we see examples of it right there. But again, keeping his commandments, that weightier matter of the law, the love of God, and having that love, his love, demonstrated towards one another. It's based in keeping these commandments, what God teaches us, what to do and what we should not do in order to be able to fulfill his law and love one another. Galatians 5 and verse 6. Galatians 5 verse 6. This is what it all comes down to. He says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Well, we've been looking at a lot of these things here. Well, what did we study about last week? We were studying about faith as one of those weightier matters. Well, here he says, what avails in Christ is a faith that works by love. So faith and the love of God, there they are right there in that verse, Galatians 5, 6. And then a few verses down, verses 13 to 15, Galatians 5, 13 to 15. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Does that sound like an emotion, or does that sound like something that has to be put into action and demonstrated by our deeds? He says, by love serve one another. Well, how are we to do that? Where do we learn about that? We, of course, in God's word. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This keeps coming up, doesn't it? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Well, that's the opposite of loving one another. So this is, again, the fulfilling of his law in that one word, to love one another. Galatians 6, verse 2. He says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, when we're taking upon us the burden of another, are we showing love towards that one upon who we're taking their burdens upon ourselves? And it's spiritual burdens if we look at that context, going back to the Galatians 6 and verse 1, but helping each other spiritually. I mean, that's part of bearing one another's burdens, and that fulfills the law of Christ. That's part a major part of our loving one another. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity. That's the word for love. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Well, there's love and faith again. But that's the end of the commandment, he says. Love out of a pure heart. James 2, 8 through 12. James 2, 8 through 12. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. So there's another one. That's how we fulfill the law. See how many different times he says that. Verse 9, he says, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Well, there's a commandment not to respect persons in judgment, literally faces by the outward man. Well, is that, when we're told not to do that, that is a commandment that hangs upon the commandment to love one another. We're not loving somebody if we're judging them by the outward man. So then he says, if we do that, we commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said that do not commit adultery said also do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Well, it's that law of Christ that we're to fulfill by loving one another, and that teaches us those things that we are to do and not do in treating others in order to fulfill his word so that we have his love in us. 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 and 23. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This love, this unfeigned love of the brethren that we are to have, and to demonstrate towards one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, how are we going to do that? By purifying our souls and obeying what? The truth. Is it connected to obeying God's commandments? That's the lead in to what he then says about loving one another with a pure heart fervently. And then right after that, what's going to give us, give birth to us, give us that kind of life to be able to do that? That's the word of God. So we see in all of these passages that teach us about this love of God, that it is based in the word of God and in keeping his commandments. I don't know of any place where that's more clear than in 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6, where he shows plainly it's by keeping his word, keeping his commandments, how we grow in his love and to the point where it is perfected in us, the fulfillment of the very purpose that God has for us all. 1 John 2, 5 and 6, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. We have to walk as Christ walked, love one another as he has loved us. So we have to find in the word of God, in the scriptures, all that Christ, those steps that he walked in and what he did and how he loved his disciples so we can follow him. But notice, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Is there any other way? I mean, can we have God's love perfected in us in any other way than by keeping his word? So anybody that says, well, we need to not be so concerned about keeping the commandments of God, but instead we need more love. Well, how are we going to have more love, according to what he just says in 1 John 2:5? To have more love, and you can't have more love than the complete love. So to have more love to the point of having the complete love comes by keeping his word. There's no other way to do that. Well, his word does teach us the things, as we've seen in several of those verses, what we must do and the things that we must not do in order to fulfill his law and love one another. But one of the things that comes up repeatedly in these instructions from the Lord loving one another, how do we do that? And how did Christ love us? By serving one another. Mark 10:42-45. He says, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them, but so shall it not be among you. Well, that is the way it is in this world. The ones who have the most authority, they have the most servants. So the greater you are in the world, the more people you have serving you. Well, what did Jesus say? It will not be so among us. It will be the opposite. So to be great with the Lord, what do we have to do? Not have more people serving us, but to serve others. He says, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So those are his steps. That's how he loved his disciples. That's how he loved us. And we see that in his service, denying himself and serving others. John 13, where we read verses 34 and 35 a moment ago, the chapter begins with Jesus washing his disciples' feet. In verses 12 through 17 of that chapter in John 13, he says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Are we willing to humble ourselves and serve others? And to the point of being the servant of all. To the point of doing things and taking on jobs that that might not be very desirable from looking at it from a certain standpoint. Recently, we've studied in the book of Nehemiah, in the first six chapters of that book, with the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, and there were some nobles from the town of Tekoa who wouldn't involve themselves with their nobility and doing that work of having to clear rubble and manual labor and building a wall. They felt themselves too good for that. Well, was Jesus, the Son of God, too good for having to wash the filthy feet of his disciples? If he would humble himself and do that, our Lord and Master, then what should we be willing to do? We should be willing to do whatever task the Lord gives us to do to help one another, to do service to one another. 1 John 3:16 through 18. There is no other way that we can't have God's love in us if we don't do that. 1 John 3:16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So if our love is, if it's just emotions, and we don't do what God has taught us to do in terms of showing love one to another by serving each other, if somebody has a need and all we say is, I love you, and then we don't do anything to help. And if we said it with great emotion, I mean, what good is that? And how is God's love dwelling in us if we don't then do what we should do in that situation that we're taught to do by God and his word, and provide the needs, fulfill those needs that others have? James 2, 14 through 17, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And as we just saw in 1 John 3, if that's how we are, then we've got a dead faith and we don't have the love of God in us. Does that sound like omitting the weightier matters of the law? That would be omitting those weightier matters of the law. So we must not do that. We need to not leave any of that undone. One other point in closing, part of the love of Christ, the love of God, is that, and when we see our service towards one another, this actually was a little bit there in that Galatians 6 and verse 2 a moment ago, where he says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are going to be times when we have to provide correction for one of the needs of our brother or sister in Christ might be spiritual, might be that they've fallen into sin, and we need to help them out of that. In Revelation 3:19, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. So we're not really loving each other if we need spiritual help and don't provide that either. So it's not just the physical needs. It includes those things that we need spiritually, and providing those things. So that's part of the love of God. It's all of that, as he teaches us that in his word. This is an opportunity for anyone that's here at this time that needs to do what he just what Jesus said there in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. If we need to repent, then that's what needs to be done. And that's what Jesus teaches us to do. And if you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, to become a follower of Christ, a child of God, then we're encouraging you to do that so you can have hope of eternal life. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you need to return to him, if you've gone astray from him, this is an opportunity for you to come back and to make things right with him. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you please come now while we stand together and sing.